RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headline. Indonesian President Joko Widodo reminded the role of the Indonesia's Constitutional Court amid the challenges of era advancement. When inaugurating Kris Museum, President invited young generation to preserve Indonesian culture. President Joko Widodo reminded scientists through rapid social changes. And now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo reminded the role Constitution. Indonesian President Joko Widodo reminds the role of Constitution called to the three frequently existing challenges as the impact of era advancement. This was stated by President Joko Widodo during the opening ceremony of Asia-Pacific International Symposium of the Constitutional Court of Indonesia in Surakarta, Central Java on Wednesday. In his speech, President Joko Widodo remarked that the frequently existing challenges are comprised of radicalism, terrorism, globalization, drug trafficking, human trafficking, arms smuggling, and cybercrime. In addition, the president also stated that the era advancement which bring about the thought of modern thinking created by youth generation poses challenges on the efforts to create the values and constitution spirit on youth generation. Thus, President Joko Widodo reminded the Indonesian Constitutional Court to be able to enlighten the comprehension of state.
Di tengah terpaan gelombang tantangan terbaru itu,
amid exposure of new challenges, the role and position of the Constitutional Court in every democratic country become more important, since the Constitutional Court is the light to enlighten the comprehension of a state and is the answer on comprehending the initial ideas of the national founders of Constitution. Compiler to feel the passion and genuine intention of national founders, then the Constitutional Court can interpret the Constitution so it can continue to be the guide and the nation and state inspiring history on responding the new challenges. Therefore, I welcome the implementation of the International Symposium this time with the theme The Constitutional Court Ideology and Democracy in a Plural Society. I hope we all can learn from the experience of other countries and the result from this symposium can strengthen the quality of our respective constitutional courts and our democratic practices.
The International Symposium, Association of ASEAN Constitutional Court and Equivalent Institution, AACC, is held for 2 days on August 9 and 10, 2017 in Surakarta, Central Java. This conference is attended by the delegation from 14 countries, including Afghanistan, South Korea, Malaysia, Thailand, Turkey, Uzbekistan, Russia, Kyrgyzstan, and Kazakhstan. Indonesian President Joko Widodo inaugurated the Kris Nusantara Museum in Surakarta, Central Java on Wednesday. In his speech, President Joko Widodo said the construction of Kris Museum is aimed to remind the young generation toward Indonesian culture. He said Kris is a nation cultural heritage that has a high philosophy value that should not be abandoned by the younger generation. To preserve Kris as the culture of the Indonesian nation, the president, moreover, said not only to enjoy the work of the Empu Kris, but also immerse the philosophical meaning contained by the Kris. According to President Joko Widodo, the existence of Kris Nusantara Museum is a form of appreciation for the art of culture to be the source of inspiration for the high value owned by the Indonesian nation.
Kita bukan hanya akan bisa menyaksikan keindahan hasil karya para Empu Kris di masa lalu, tetapi the Empu Kris in the past, but also can immerse the philosophy of each Kris.
We must remember that museum and history are our window in starting the past to step optimistically and welcome the future. I hope this Kris Nusantara Museum can be a manifestation of our appreciation to the cultural arts as well as a source of inspiration. Kris Nusantara Museum was built on the initiative of President Joko Widodo while he served as the mayor of Surakarta. The establishment of the museum was based on the inauguration of Indonesian Kris as the World Cultural Heritage by UNESCO in 2005. Mayor of Surakarta FX Rudiatmo explained Kris Nusantara Museum currently has 409 collection of Kris and other traditional weapons. Of the total collection of Kris and traditional weapons in the Kris Nusantara Museum, 348 pieces collected from the region in Indonesia, while 61 pieces of traditional weapons in the museum is deposited from several collectors of Indonesian traditional weapons. President Joko Widodo again reminded the rapid changes of the times that have brought about implication on all aspects of life, including social structure. In his speech at the opening of the International Conference on Business Economics and Social Sciences in Sukoharjo, Central Java, the president said that the social scientists should be able to anticipate the social changes along with the government by preparing a policy framework in both the economic, political, and social field. President Joko Widodo urges social scientists to expand their research on policies that can be taken in a bid to anticipate the social changes. He also said that the anticipation is also included through the method of learning in school and colleges.
And once again, the college subject that have been already taught should not be monotonous, linear. We need to adjust to the development that occur. The method of learning in the classroom must also change, because alternative sources of information today are abundant. It's very abundant, and we can find them by preparing since the beginning of anticipation of the change. I'm sure the social science will make a huge contribution to the progress of our nation, Indonesia.
The 4th International Conference for Business, Economic and Social Sciences by 11 Maret University was held in collaboration among 11 Maret University, the Association of Doctoral Programs Management of Indonesia, APDMI, and the Indonesian Society for the Development of Social Affairs, HIPIIS. Rector of 11 Maret University, Rafiq Karsidi, confirmed that the conference is a means to disseminate research results in the field of business, economic, and other social studies, and to improve the quality of scientific research and publication. The Regent of Banyuwangi, Abdullah Azwar Anas, presented Smart Kampung or Smart Village when he was invited on the event of Major Caucus or the meeting of the Malaysia's Major on Wednesday in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. On the occasion, Abdullah Azwar Anas presented the theme, The Transformation of Banyuwangi, Challenges and Outcomes. Abdullah Azwar Anas stated, It is an honor for Banyuwangi to be invited on international forum. Previously, Banyuwangi has been also invited to present the development of its region in a number of countries such as Japan. He also stated that the major in Malaysia are scheduled to visit Banyuwangi at the end of this year. One of them is Smart Village, a program to encourage the village development through technology information, improvement of public services and economy. Banyuwangi has a village budgeting adapted from other regions in Indonesia to improve the village financial governance, in which there is an e-monitoring system to monitor the village development from 0 to 100% of project completion. Mayor Abdullah Azwar Anas also stressed the importance of changing the bureaucratic paradigm to be more responsive. This news coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Indonesian Minister of Defense Ria Mizard Ryakudu, accompanied by Indonesian delegation, made honorary visit to President Senegal, His Excellency Macky Sall, on Wednesday at the presidential office of Senegal in Dakar. As cited from the website of the Ministry of Defense, the honorary visit is aimed to improve and strengthen the bilateral cooperation of both countries, particularly on the defense sector that has been existed firmly. Particularly, both parties discussed the procurement cooperation of Australia, the Indonesian defense industry production by Senegal, concerning the procurement of the CN-235 or CN-235 of Indonesian aerospace aircraft, which the contract assurance will be realized after the conference. In addition, Indonesia proposed the defense industry, therefore, to find out the defense industry potential and the alutsista product. Indonesian defense industry, the Indonesian Minister of Defense further invites the Senegalese Minister of Defense and Armed Forces to visit Indonesia. In response for the matters, the Senegalese government expresses his interest to cooperate on defense industry, particularly on the procurement of alutsista produced by Indonesian defense industry. Bank Indonesia, or BI, Governor Agus Martowardoyo said that online transactions reached 75 trillion rupiah in the past year. He said that 2.47 million internet users shopped online in 2016. Agus said that the high volume of online shopping is the line with Indonesian active use of social media. He said that the digital revolution is inevitable. According to the governor, the digital revolution also helped boost the growth of Indonesian startup. The digital revolution in Indonesia is also experienced by the financial sector, as reflected in the number of financial technology players that grew 78% between 2015 and 2016. However, Agus said that such a huge potential has not been fully exploited, as shown by Indonesia's internet penetration at only 51% in 2016. The figure is lagging far behind the neighboring countries such as Malaysia and Thailand, with 71% and 67% respectively. Agus explained that other factors is being the low quality internet service, citing 4G coverage, which is only 23% in Indonesia. And the last item, land extensification in East Nusa Tenggara, or NTT, will produce 500,000 tons of salt annually. The Agency for Assessment and Application of Technology, BPPT, Chairman Unggul Priyatno said salt will be produced in 5,000 hectares of land in the Integrated Salt Farming Program. Unggul said that the government will invest 1.8 trillion rupiah in the Integrated Salt Farming that will become a pilot project. The government will later launch similar project in West Nusa Tenggara, NTB, and South Sulawesi. The government is planning land extensification program to boost national salt production. Unused lands will be used for the extensification. BPPT has been assigned by the government to provide the technology for the integrated salt farming. And to end the news, here are the main points once again. Indonesian President Joko Widodo reminds the role of the Indonesia's Constitutional Court amid the challenges of era advancement. When inaugurating KRIS Museum, President invite young generation to preserve Indonesian culture. President Joko Widodo reminds scientists through rapid social changes. And that was the news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener, our commentary today entitled Accelerating Implementation of Infrastructure Projects. President Joko Widodo's 9 main agenda program, or locally called Nawacita, has encouraged the acceleration of infrastructure development, not only in Java but also some other regions across Indonesia. Take, for example, West Kalimantan has inaugurated several infrastructure projects implemented by the central, provincial, and district governments. They are Tayan Bridge, Supadio International Airport, some interstate border gates, and power plants. The government is currently still focusing on accelerating infrastructure development in various regions in a bid to improve Indonesian competitiveness with other countries. President Joko Widodo asked ministers to accelerate the implementation of infrastructure projects, especially those whose implementation is in cooperation with other parties. This has meant that foreign investment will immediately come to Indonesia because the funding of the project cannot be done from a single source, namely through the state budget. The related ministries, such as Coordinating Minister for Economy, Home Affairs Ministry, Minister of Transportation, and Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources, are requested to accelerate all infrastructure projects and to simplify the process. Among the projects, there are the Port of Patimban and the Rapid Train Jakarta-Surabaya. In addition, there are some other projects like the construction of refineries, electricity projects, highways, and light rail transit LRT. For LRT development, the government is now changing its financial scheme by involving the private sectors and banks. 70% is funded by banks, while PT Kereta Api Indonesia, PT KAI, endures the shortfall drawn from the operational cash flow of the LRT. As for the construction of refineries, the Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources tries to improve the capacity of oil and gas refineries through the revitalization strategy and refinery development in separate locations. This means that the production target of more than 2 million barrels of oil per day in 2023 can be achieved. Director of Processing and Petrochemical Processing at PT Pertamina, Rahmat Hardadi, said that the implementation of refinery infrastructure is a challenge for Pertamina to support national energy security. All these developments must be grateful and expected to open new business opportunities and spur the economic growth of the community. The direct impact of infrastructure development is that there is an open opportunities for people to access the existing resources, both natural resources and human resources. More importantly, with adequate infrastructure, high economic costs can be curbed. Listener, that was commentary. Thanks for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back on our daily program Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We'll begin with an event which occurred on August 10, 1937, when Japan was at war against China. On August 10, 1937, there was a war for 2 years between Japan and China on capturing Canton and Shanghai, two important regions in China. Canton is an important and strategic harbor in South China. China's citizens strived hard to defend the region. However, after there were many victims died on the war, On April 25, 1939, China's troops surrendered and Canton was ultimately seized by Japan. With the commencement of World War II, Japan occupied the White Region in China. While for China, citizens were persistent to fight back, so Japan pulled back its troops at the end. The next event was in August 1973 when President Suharto declared the beginning of the second rehabilitation of Borobudur Temple. Borobudur Temple is a Buddha temple located in Borobudur, Magelang, Central Java. The location is approximately 100 miles on the southwest of Semarang and 40 miles on the northwest of Yogyakarta. The temple was built by the followers of Buddha Mahayana around 800 and to the Minho under the period of Wangsa Shailendra reign. It had undergone the rehabilitation for several times. The first rehabilitation was in 1997 until 1911 by fund helped to improve and restore the Aravadhatu and the main stupa section. Later on August 10, 1973, President Suharto declared the beginning of the second rehabilitation of Borobudur Temple. It involves more than 600 workers. The section which was rehabilitated was the Rupadhatu building, a square-shaped building which was located on the fourth level from below of the temple. This activity took 10 years. Furthermore, on February 23, 1983, the rehabilitation of Borobudur Temple was completed and declared officially by President Suharto by signing an inscription signature. After renovation, UNESCO included Borobudur into the list of the World Heritage Site in 1991. We conclude with Japan on August 10, 1955, when Gatot Kaca and 250 aircraft as the production output of Indonesian aerospace to carry out the flight test for the first time. That moment was then commemorated as the National Technology Awakening Day. The commemoration of National Technology Awakening Day began when Indonesia succeeded in carrying out the flight test for Gatot Kaca and 250 aircraft for the first time as the production output of Indonesian VNPT Industri Pesawat Terbang Nusantara IPTN, now Indonesia Aerospace, on August 10, 1955. This success was a clear evidence of achievement from Indonesian youths who make proud on their efforts to develop, to apply as well to comprehend the science of technology, particularly in aerospace sector. Therefore, based on Presidential Regulation No. 73, 1995 on August 10, it was appointed as the National Technology Awakening Day. Listener, that was the history for today from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello listener, this is Focus entitled Women Become One of the Largest Economic Strengths of Asia. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi said that women are the motivating factor behind the economic power of Asian countries. Minister Retno Marsudi, in her written statement in Jakarta on Monday, says that women are the superpower behind the success of Asia as one of the largest economic strengths in the world. But women also face many challenges to continue to advance the region. The statement was exposed by Minister Retno at the Asian Women in Business Breakfast meeting, which was held at the sidelines of the Asian Foreign Minister meeting in Manila, the Philippines, on August 6, 2017. Asian Women in Business Breakfast meeting is an informal meeting held at the sidelines of the Asian Foreign Minister meeting in Manila with the hosts of Australian Foreign Minister Julie Bishop and Philippine Foreign Minister Alan Peter Chayatain. Minister Retno Marsudi, who was present with Myanmar and Vietnam Foreign Minister and some of the most influential businesswomen in Southeast Asia, delivered a special presentation which highlighted the roles and challenge faced by women in Asia as a significant contributor to regional economic growth. Minister Retno Marsudi said that the female population in the Asian region reaches around 300 million people, half of the Asian's total population, 600 million. In addition, women also become owners and managers about 33% of 66% of small and medium enterprises in four Asian countries. Minister Retno also explained that the role of women in running the economy especially for small and medium enterprises, becomes one of the economic backbones of Asia. Asia is the sixth largest economic power in the world and the third largest in Asia. Asia also noted the combined value of gross domestic product, which reached $2.55 trillion. In 2015, Asian economic operation was at the most stable position of 24% of total trade in goods. Such success, Minister Ratnafuse, can be achieved very hard, and there will be a lot of problems faced by women in Asia. She further said that there is still income gap. There are a lot of women working in the informal sector who are vulnerable to exploitation and who are difficult to get capital access and market information for businesswomen. All of these are part of the challenges faced by women. To be able to face the challenge requires cooperation among Asian countries to find the best solution. That was Focus. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Here is our news in brief. Indonesian President Joko Widodo reminds the role of Constitutional Court to face frequently existing challenges as the impact of era advancement. Indonesian President Joko Widodo inaugurated the Kris Nusantara Museum in Surakarta, Central Java on Wednesday. President Joko Widodo again reminded the rapid changes of the times that have brought about implication on all aspects of life, including social structure. The regent of Banyuwangi Abdullah Azwar Anas presented Smart Kampung or Smart Village when he was invited on the event of Mayor Caucus or the meeting of the Malaysia's majors on Wednesday in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. The Indonesian Minister of Defense, Ria Mizard Riakudu, accompanied by Indonesian delegation, made honorary visit to President Senegal, His Excellency Macky Sall, on Wednesday at the presidential office in Senegal in Dakar. Bank Indonesia or BI Governor Agus Martowardoyo said that online transaction reached 75 trillion rupiah in this past year. And the last item, land extensification in East Nusa Tenggara or NTT will produce 500,000 tons of salt annually. The Agency for the Assessment and Application of Technology BPPPT Chairman Unggul Priyanto said. And that was our news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id. You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you to visit Lampung. Stay tuned. Listener, Lampung is the southernmost province in Sumatra Island. talking about tourism in 2009, the provincial government of Lampung launched a year of tourism visit. There are a number of tourism places that can be visited in Lampung, namely cultural tour in some old villages in Sakau, Liwa, Kembahang, Batubrak, Kenari, Ranau, and Krui in West Lampung. There are also some natural attractions such as beaches, mountains, and waterfalls. From a variety of tourism attractions in Lampung, the leading tourism destinations such as Pahawang Island, Kiluan Bay, Putri Malu Waterfall, as well as Wai Kambas National Park. In today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, we invite you to visit Putri Malu Waterfall. Listener, Putri Malu Waterfall is located in Jukuk Batu Village, Banjit Subdistrict, Wai Kanan Regency. The area is easily accessible from the Sumatra Highway, about 40 kilometers from the central government of Wai Kanan Regency. After arriving at the Jukuk Batu Village, you still have to continue the journey to the location of Putri Malu Waterfall, about 30 minutes by two-wheeled vehicle. From the parking lot, you still have to walk about 50 meters to Putri Malu Waterfall. Approaching the waterfall, the gurgling sound of water already heard. Listener, Putri Malu Waterfall has a 100 meters height and curved shape resembling the back of a human who takes a bathing. That's why the waterfall called Putri Malu or Mimosa. The location is still very natural and surrounded by mountainous green view as well as tropical rainforest that's still virgin. No wonder if the air around the waterfall site is cool. Not only cool weather, the water also cool. You can try to soaking under the waterfall to enjoy the coolness and freshness of Putri Malu Waterfall. After satisfied to soak and swim, do not forget to capture the surrounding natural beauty views with your camera. Listener, we suggested that it is better to bring food supply if you make a tour to Putri Malu Waterfall because there is no restaurant. Unfortunately, there is also no lodging there. If you want to spend the night, you can stay at the lodge in Wai Kanan Regency. In a trip of Putri Malu Waterfall, you can also visit other tourism destinations close to Putri Malu Waterfall, such as the hot spring which is also located in Jukuk Batu Village, Banjit, and next to the beautiful rocky of Neki River stream. The place is about 3 kilometers from Jukuk Batu Village. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with a topic about Putri Malu Waterfall. We will meet again in the segment of Indonesian Wonder tomorrow with other interesting topics. See you and sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. With me, Nuka, in our miscellany for today. And in today's edition of miscellany, we will talk about National Technology Resurgence Day. Stay tuned. August 10 is annually celebrated as National Technology Resurgence Day, or known as Harteknas. Harteknas is an important event in history of technological revival in Indonesia, beginning with the inaugural flight of N250 Gatotkaca aircraft on August 10, 1995 in Bandung. The work of the nation's children proves that Indonesia has succeeded in developing the spirits of innovative science and technology, which then produce a national innovation product that boosts up to go international. The historic event on August 10, 1995 was originally intended as a gold gift of Indonesia's 50th independence anniversary. Nevertheless, in its journey, due to the political response and considerable community support, August 10 served as an important event in history for the science and technology of the Indonesian nation. Through Presidential Decree No. 71, 1995, August 10 was set as National Technology Resurgence Day. Listener Makassar City, South Sulawesi, is appointed to be the host of the 22nd National Technology Resurgence Day on August 10, 2017. Makassar is chosen as the host because it is considered to be one of the areas that possess considerable potentials in terms of agriculture, fishery, plantations, mining, and tourism. Harteknas 2017 is centered in Center Point of Indonesia with the theme Maritime Development-Based Innovation. The event is attended by President Joko Widodo and Mr. Technology in Indonesia, B.J. Habibie. The election of Center Point of Indonesia as the location of National Technology Resurgence Day is that the location of the Center Point of Indonesia, or CPI, is in the middle of the sea. It is in accordance with the maritime theme that simplifies all forms of products to be exhibited. There are fast boats, amphibious ships and boats, people's ships equipped with technology and fishing boats completed with GPS. All the products on display are the innovation of the work of the nation's children who have been tested. In addition to Maritime Innovation Product Exhibition, there is also an exhibition about innovation in agriculture, such as seeds and fertilizer to plant rice that can double the production. The innovation has been done by Thailand that makes the country never import rice because it's always surplus. That was Miscellany for today's edition with the topic National Technology Resurgence Day. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. We will meet again in the next Miscellany. Sampai jumpa.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello listeners of Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, we meet again in the regular Music Corner. In today's edition, we will present Gomblo's career in coincide with the 72nd Indonesia's Independence Day anniversary on 17 August. Gomblo is one of the Indonesian singers who have a nationalism spirit and glorify the values of the nation's unity. Now, we will listen to a song from Gomblo entitled Kebiar Kebiar. The lyrics of the song shows that Gomblo loves the unity. Well, listener, let's enjoy the song of Gomblo, Kebiar Kebiar. Thank you.
palingan dagu dari.
Kebiar-kebiar is a reflection of the nationalism spirit that inspires Indonesian youth to remain within the framework of unity by growing the spirit of sacrificing both wealth and life for the nation. The song Kebiar-kebiar is also used as an uplift song of the struggling spirit for the young generation. Listener, coming up next, a heroic song from Gombloh entitled Indonesia Kami.
Halo Indonesia,
Berikilah dalam buburmu, padi dan kapas adalah bajumu. Indonesia bermakna. Halo Indonesia, ilalang adalah rambutmu, gunung dan bukit adalah gigimu. Indonesia bergema. Indonesia kau sahabatku, Indonesia kau juga ibuku, Indonesia kau lah cerminku sayang.
Gombloh was born from a simple family, and certainly he became an expectation of his family to succeed in the education. He studied at the Surabaya Institute of Technology. However, the soul of art which inherent in him is very deep, so it makes Gombloh drop out. Later, before he died, he traveling from one city to another. From the experience of his journey, finally, he created a song with the theme of nationality and struggle. Listener, that was a glimpse of life experience of Gombloh. And to conclude today's edition of Music Corner, we'll present you to the last two songs entitled Pesan Buat Negeriku and Terima Kasih Indonesia by Gombloh. Happy listening and see you tomorrow. Bye for now.
Di kaki-kaki bukit, aku kan menunggumu. Di mata sangat lama, aku kan memelukmu. Rebut
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.